College Football Nerds here doing a little bit of a rant. We are College Football Nerds, but we're going to talk about some NFL quarterbacks because we're noticing a trend in the NFL that's really concerning us. And if you're new to this channel, we usually talk numbers, X's and O's about college football, but also we follow these guys so much throughout their career that we usually have a few things to say once they get to the NFL. Okay, Josh, I noticed today, obviously we've got some opening weekend starters who are rookie first round draft pick quarterbacks. And I have this rant that I make every year, the financial pressure, the front office pressure and the fan pressure to start a rookie quarterback in early. So maybe not first game, but like as soon as they get set foot on the, on the practice field for a camp, there's that pressure to start them. And it's getting earlier and earlier, and the expectations are more and more that we see that rookie quarterback, and it's setting them up a lot, in my opinion, for failure. And there's a lot of dynamics to this at play, mainly that you've got guys that benefit greatly from learning a lot on the bench and not having the pressure of being the guy. But also, if you're a team without trades that has a first-round draft pick, that's like top five, you're probably not a great team to begin with. So it's an even worse scenario to expect a rookie raw QB to walk in and be a difference maker. My concern is that there is an opportunity. There is a chance, Josh, that we might be ruining some of these guys by starting them too early and kind of breaking their progress and their brain a little bit. And I'd like for you to touch on that before I finish my rant.
The problem for a quarterback is that it's a lot of tendencies and it's a lot of habits that you build. And I think when you get a quarterback and you put him, out there and you throw him to the fire without time to mature, you end up causing the guy to get a lot of bad habits. I mean, they don't learn how to go through the progressions properly. And, there's guys like we see in college football years ago, like Tyler Bray, that you think every year, oh, yeah, he's going to turn the corner. And they never do. And a lot of times people say, well, accuracy just doesn't improve that much. And I often talk about that from a statistical perspective, that once a guy starts, those numbers typically don't improve a ton, at least in the college game. But I think even in the NFL game, it's fairly true. And the reason I think is it's more of a balancing effect. The players do get better. In the NFL, you see the statistics get better year to year. But what ends up happening is you get a guy that's on, like Daniel's saying, a bad team where often there's a bad offensive line. And, Trevor Lawrence is the example. I'll let Daniel rant on where Lawrence is at. But you get them out there, and now they're scrambling for their life. They're throwing passes way more than they should, which means they're having to take risks because their team's behind. So they're making throws that are really ill-advised. And that causes habits. If you're making ill-advised throws in a comeback bid, you will make those same throws in a game that's a tight game because that's how you've trained yourself mentally. And if you're not used to having enough time to throw, then your clock is going to be too fast. If you're not used to having proper protection, then you won't trust your progressions and your timing because you think, oh, I need to keep my eyes down and I need to look for the oncoming rusher. Mac Jones is probably the most recent example of in college of a guy that was allowed to mature and ended up coming out as a starter in his first year start and darn near winning the Heisman Trophy and starts game one for the Patriots. And I think a lot of that was because he built really good habits in practice. And when he started for Alabama, he was a much more advanced quarterback than Tua was when Tua left, even though Tua had a lot more game experience his last year. And I think it's because you learn how to do quarterback play properly better in practice than you do in the game. Yeah, experience is important. Yeah, your first start is usually rough. But the fundamentals of progression and timing and how you take your drop, how you set your feet when you throw, you need to get those set in cement before you get thrown to the fire so that when you start to, have to learn how to play on the fly, what you're doing is sort of roughing up those hard set tendencies you have. And you don't go the other direction where you get a guy and you make him scramble and you make him try to force throws. And now you're trying to take a guy that has these tendencies to be really risky and you're trying to firm that up because I think that's just a lot harder.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence is a great example. This is a guy that we said from day one at Clemson, he has every physical tool in the toolbox that you want out of your quarterback. But we noticed some concerning trends. He had a team that's winning national championships, a team that's playing in the playoffs, playing in a league where there was very little competition. He was playing teams that are getting bombed by everybody out of conference. So when they bombed them, it wasn't that big a deal. You know, that it was expected. But he's putting up 8.0, 8.5, 9 yards per attempt, which was a great YPA 10 years ago. But you got Tua or Kyler Murray or Mac Jones putting up 11, 11.5 yards per attempt against better competition. There was some concern there, and he had tendencies to really rely on the deep ball, not get into a good rhythm, and throw some weird picks, multiple pick games against not great, you know, really bad teams. These are things we saw that we wanted him to kind of iron out on the bench as a quarterback in the NFL, at least for the first half of the season. But there's this pressure to start him. And what we see in preseason and what we see in his first game is the same thing. He's a 6.5 yard per attempt guy in his first game, threw 3 interceptions. He got to those 6.5 yards after garbage time or during garbage time. So after it was a huge blowout, he was really struggling early on. And look, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is doomed or is going to be a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that at all. I understand it's his first game and he's going to have some issues. The problem is we see him make a wow throw and we think that means he's ready to start and he's not. And I don't think he was ready to start. I think of all the quarterbacks coming out, like Mac Jones, I think Zach Wilson, who also struggled today, these guys were a little more ready to start. And Trevor Lawrence needed to have the mental side of the game cure a little longer before he was out there in the fire. And now he's surrounded by nobody, right? He's like got not a lot of talent around him, and they're asking him to be the guy when in reality, that's a tough ask for a veteran. And what do we see, Josh? And why is this concerning? Talk about this. 50-something attempts today. Tell me, does that just raise major alarm bells for you?
It does. And, you know, to your point, I think the ceiling for Lawrence is higher. I think if you ask Lawrence to throw at targets, he's better than a lot of these other quarterbacks. But the problem with Lawrence is the same problem Tagovailoa had. Tagovailoa got injured late in his season twice at Alabama and really didn't have a lot of clean snaps against the better teams they played. 2018 was a little bit weird because he wasn't healthy. 2019, he gets knocked out. And I think they both got a lot of really bad habits of playing bad competition where it was really easy for Tua. It was really easy for Lawrence. You know, Lawrence is throwing at Higgins and he's throwing at Ross. Tua is throwing to Ruggs and Judy and Waddle and Smith. Those were phenomenal receiving cores that were greatly outclassing their competition. And I think in both the case for both guys, they both had a lot of games against better defenses where they really kind of struggled. And I think it was because they had a hard time adjusting to the difference in play there. When you have Lawrence come in and you have start him game one and you have him throw 51 attempts in not just a losing effort, but an effort where he's getting blown out, you're not really retraining him with, this is what I need to do to manage the ball and to be successful at the NFL level. You're teaching him, okay, you came in and you were the best guy on the field, and so you did things and it was easy. Now it's going to be really hard, so we want you to press and we want you to force. And that's how you end up with 3 interceptions, you know, while this game's still very much, you know, lopsided or growing to be a lopsided game for the Texans. That kind of habit is hard to break. And if Lawrence had been allowed to sit and be conservative and try to get better habits in terms of working the short passing game, in terms of being an efficient passer, you know, taking the opportunities that will be in front of him with the Jaguars, which for the immediate future, there's not going to be a ton of great opportunities. There's not going to be a ton of great open options. And there are going to be a lot of plays where he needs to learn to just throw the ball away or to get 4 yards with his feet or to check the ball down. When you don't let him do that, then, you know, when Jacksonville builds or if Jacksonville builds to be a better team, he's still going to force the ball. He's still not going to check it down. And you're not going to get those easy yardage. And Tom Brady does not win games by bombing away. Tom Brady wins games by being extremely efficient 5 to 10 yards down the field. And then when an opportunity presents himself, he strikes. Don't try to make Trevor Lawrence play like, you know, Patrick Mahomes when he doesn't have the Chiefs' skill talent around him, because that's just going to lead to him throwing the ball willy-nilly. And that habit, I think, is just incredibly hard to break. And just, to me, it's really frustrating because I think Lawrence's biggest struggle was that he was never asked to or very effective at being a 5 to 10 yard efficiency passer at Clemson. And they play around with that at Clemson. There was one game in Syracuse I can remember where he threw a couple picks because he was so uncomfortable with it. And they would always go back to just bombing downfield because they had these tall, awesome receivers. They get separation and he's really great at those throws. He needed to work on that aspect of his game, still needs to, and that's what he'll need to have to be successful in the NFL. Passing 51 times is absolutely going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I mean, and look, again, we're not saying Trevor Lawrence is going to be bad. We're saying this is a trend we hate in the NFL, and we wish they would stop doing it. I understand the pressure, the financial pressure, the fan pressure, but at some point you got to build for the future and not build for the now. And you can't build from the now when you got a trash roster like the Jaguars have. And look, the two situations where Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence could not be more dissimilar. And this is why I hate drafting a quarterback in the top 10 anyway, because of this pressure. What you want to be as a quarterback, other than the gobs of money, which is great, you want to be the guy that comes in and gets to learn for at least a year where there is a decent veteran like Fitz at Miami, where they don't need you immediately. And maybe on a roster that has some pieces already. And Mac Jones walked into a situation where really a lot of it was already there. Decent talent around him, not just offensively, but defensively, where there's not that pressure to score every single drive because you know your defense is going to give up any lead you might get or put the game out of reach pretty quick. That's another whole other set of pressure that's on Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones was more NFL ready, doesn't have as high of a ceiling, but walked into a situation that's really curated for his success. And really all he has to do is be that game manager, where Trevor Lawrence has to be something extra. And it's because if you are drafted number one overall, you're generally on a team that's really, really bad. And so I hate that for him. I hate that this is a trend in the NFL. I get the financial pressure and how big of a game it is in the NFL. But, man, I would love to have seen Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I like what Trey Lance is getting to do and learn in San Francisco. There's going to be pressure there to start him too. But Garoppolo put up 12-plus yards per attempt today, so maybe not. So, Josh, last thoughts on this before we close it out. Anything else you want to add?
I don't have any problem with drafting Trevor Lawrence, number one. We talked about who we would draft or our thoughts on the draft earlier when it was going on, and I thought it was a slam dunk that you had to draft Trevor Lawrence, number one, because of the value of a quarterback, because of how he really has some unique generational traits. I also note that ETN being out, I think, is a really big crutch because I thought he was one of the more underrated players in college football last year. But yeah, at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact that coaches are making decisions in their own interest and owners are making decisions in their own interest, because if they don't win now or next year, they're going to get fired. And for a lot of these quarterbacks, they really shouldn't be played until the second or third year. But if you're a coach and you're bad enough to have the first pick in the draft, you can't, if you're Urban Meyer, you can't have 2 years of winning three games and having Lawrence on the bench. I mean, you're going to get raked over the coals, and heck, you might be fired if you have him on the bench and say, look, I'm planning for year three. No one's going to buy that. But the irony to me, the way the NFL set up, is if you just put Lawrence on the bench and you accepted that he needs to be trained and that you're going to have a bad year and you get another high draft pick and maybe you get a great left tackle or you get, you know, the top receiver in the draft, or you trade down and get two first round pick receivers. That's how you're going to be good in year three. And I think there's a real shame because NFL teams are not making those kinds of long-term decisions. And I think the thing that separates some franchises from others is the franchises with more stability are making decisions for how they're going to pan out in 3 to 5 years. And the teams that haven't had a lot of success are also the teams that don't have stability, and they're making decisions about years one and two. Now, I know there's draft caps, veterancy, all that stuff's involved, but what is good today may not be good for you 2 years from now, and I think this whole quarterback situation is absolutely in that bent. Starting people immediately might make you a little bit better today, but it's going to really limit or really put a brake on the potential that these quarterbacks have to reach their real ceiling down the road when you want to be a Super Bowl winning or, you know, division winning franchise.
All right, y'all, that's it for us. Just a reminder, if you're new to this channel, what we do, we have a live show every Saturday night, which is awesome. We go for about 2 hours. The chat is great. We do breakdowns every week, X's and O's. Starting next week, week four of the college football season, we also have a computer model. I think we're something like 8-4 against the spread this year in our own picks, so we're doing pretty well in that regard as well. And our model has historically beaten Vegas, I think, every year that we've had it. So if you're interested in college football talk and not just NFL talk, check us out. Like, subscribe, get at us in the comments. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.